Are you ready? He's back. He's better. And he's got something to say. You've tuned in for your daily inspiration. Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. I am your host, David Mastin, back with another episode, trying to test a couple of things out here. New live date, new date for production. So typically these come out on Friday or Saturday. New episodes come out Friday or Saturday, but this time I decided to just because had some changes happen in my schedule. So these are going to start coming out on Monday, record them on Sunday, put them out on Monday. So thank you all for joining me and listening. I appreciate all the support. I mean, I appreciate anybody who's listened or passed along a message that they thought was beneficial for them and could also be beneficial to others. And you shared it, you liked it, you listened to it. So thank you so much for just your support. I appreciate it greatly. Gonna go ahead on and just jump right into this week's episode. The last episode I did, I talked about, when bad things happen, and we talked about just kind of how you navigate that space, right? Because it's inevitable that bad things happen to people. And the crazy thing is that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And I think the logic that most of us have, the logic that most of us have is that bad things should only happen to bad people. And that's not a bad logic to have, but it's an unrealistic one, right? Things are going to happen on a regular basis, and you have to know who you can go to. Let me finish this statement. You have to know who to go to when those bad things happen to help you get through them. And sometimes, we talked about this last episode, that we go to God because in the Bible, whenever anybody had a bad situation, they ran to God. And what we sometimes have to understand is that sometimes God does not always remove the bad situation, but he gives us the strength and the endurance to get through it. And we become stronger, we become wiser, and we can become better based upon that experience. And so this week we want to talk about getting a grip, right? Because a lot of times when you're faced in these predicaments of life, it's easy to kind of lose it and to lose your hope and to lose your faith and to lose your confidence and your trust in God. And it's in those moments where you have to decide, what are you going to do, right? Are you going to give up? Are you going to lose hope? Are you going to fall down? Like, what are you going to do? And so, today's episode, get a grip, right? We got to get a grip. And of course, I always talk about my own experiences. And I try to come from my own kind of experiences, logic, things that I've gone through, things that I've observed, because I think it hits home a little bit more when it's personal. And not only does it hit home when it's personal, but it helps me too, right? But oftentimes when there's a lot of things happening at the same time, I can get really, really overwhelmed. I can become very, very filled with anxiety. I am not a multitasker at all, right? I don't know why I don't have that gift, right? But I am very much so a non-multitasker. Can't do it to save my life, right? It's so bad to where when I was working in the office and I was working downtown and we were actually in the building, if I had a meeting inside of a glass room, I could not face the glass. I had to face the wall. Because if I faced the glass, I was going to easily be distracted. If somebody walked by, if somebody said something, if somebody had a plate of food, if somebody was eating a cookie, if somebody was drinking water, very easily distracted and would lose total train of thought. I just can't do it. So, I can't sometimes handle a lot of things happening at once. I typically have to take one thing at a time or I'll get this overwhelming stress and anxiety about myself. And I feel like I'm getting ready to lose it, right? And it's only been 30 minutes into my day. because I'm like that, I typically like to take on one task at a time, move to another, move to the next. And sometimes when that can't happen, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like the world is crushing in on me. I feel like it's too much for me to handle. And I was talking to someone and the words came to me, you need to get a grip. Like, you need to, come on, man. Like, yo, you're losing it and you shouldn't be losing it, right? Like, look at how far you've come. Look at all the things that you've done. It is 30 minutes into your day. Let's simmer, right? Right? Like, let's relax. And so I always try to find some type of scriptural reference or some story context in the Bible or some text in the Bible that can relate to how I'm feeling, right? And though this is not the exact same situation, we can take some concepts from this that deals with that overwhelming anxiety, fear, pressure, and, you know, not really knowing what to do. So in Genesis chapter number 32 is when Jacob is leaving Laban. Him and Laban have gotten tired of tricking each other and going at it with each other. They're not going, getting along. And if I was Jacob, I would not get along with Laban either. You promised me one. I worked for you for 7 years. You were supposed to give me Rachel to marry because that's who I wanted. You didn't. You gave me Leah instead. Then you made me work again to get Rachel, right? Now, there's a bunch of nuances in there, but that alone, you tricking me for seven out of 7 years of work, I'm going to be a little pissed at you too, Laban, just off of that reference alone. And don't get me wrong, Jacob had it coming because Jacob tricked his own brother Esau out of his inheritance. So it's not like Jacob didn't get what he had coming, but I don't care what you say. I'm not going to work for you 7 years. You make me a promise and then you trick me on year seven. Like, that's, I mean, we just not going to be cool. And so Jacob has beefed with Laban and Jacob has said, you know what? I've had enough. Laban, you go your way. I go my way. All right. That's where we get the saying, may the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from another, right? That little closing statement that we do in church. Laban and Jacob said that to each other. In other words, they were saying, look, man, I don't get along with you. You don't get along with me. You go that way, I go this way. Okay. Jacob faced off with Laban. Cool. He's headed back towards home, right? To his father's land, towards Esau, his brother. And as he's headed there, God shows Jacob this encampment of angels that was surrounding him. It has to be an amazing thing to see those spiritual insights where God reveals something supernatural to you that others may not be able to see. He didn't necessarily reveal it to everybody else, but he revealed it to Jacob, that Jacob had protection. Jacob is getting ready to go back towards Esau. And as he's getting ready to go back towards Esau, he sends word to Esau that he's coming. And when he sends word, Esau then gathers, I want to say it's 400 troops or 400 men. And when that happens, Jacob now panics. He gets afraid. He's extremely afraid for his life. The Bible says that he is actually distressed. He's distressed. He's fearful. He's overwhelmed. He's filled with anxiety because he know he tricked his brother. And he doesn't know how his brother feels, but his mother, Jacob's mother, Jacob's mother told him to come back to his father's land, Abraham's land, when Esau had calmed down, when he was no longer angry, right? And so Esau sends to those same messages that Jacob sent, that I'm getting ready to meet him, and he's bringing 400 men. Now, Jacob has no idea what these 400 men are going to do. All he remembers is his past mistakes that he did to somebody else. We have to be very careful when we deal with people. And the reason why I say that is because you don't know who you're going to need later in life. And sometimes it's best to leave on a good cause and on a good name and not burn bridges, so that if you need to cross that over again, you can. Now, I don't know how much crossing over Jacob could have done with Esau after stealing his birthright, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But Jacob is afraid. Now, here's the kicker here that I was thinking about. Here it is. Jacob knows he has angels encamped around about him. Multiple angels encamped around about him. Multiple supernatural forces, ministers of God and to man, that are surrounding Jacob. And when Jacob hears that his brother is coming to meet him, Jacob becomes extremely fearful, extremely stressed, filled with anxiety, filled with an overwhelming feeling. I say that to say this. A lot of times we tend to question people's faith, and we tend to question and to reduce individuals' faith based off their experiences, based off of what you would do in that situation. The issue with that is that you're not in it. You're not the one who has to experience it. And everybody's experience in regards to faith is different. And what I mean by that is what may phase you may not phase me. But what phases me may not phase you. And so instead of condemning or thinking less of somebody because they feel troubled by what they're going through, your job is to support, pray, and strengthen and encourage them that no matter what it is, they can get through it. It's not your job to question what somebody's belief or faith is in. Jacob had just saw a swarm of angels, and now he's afraid of his brother. Well, what happened, Jacob? What happened between you knowing that there's angels, you knowing that there's, I don't care. Listen, I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how great you are. I don't care how awesome you are. I don't care how long you've been serving and with serving God. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care how long you've been teaching. I don't care how great you think you are. I don't care how great you think you've become in God. I don't care how big of faith you think you have. I don't care of how much I don't care how much you think you're just in with all favor with God, how holy you are with God. Everybody has an experience that will shake their faith, big or small. Everybody has an experience that will shake their faith. I don't care what encounter with God that you've had, it will shake your faith. And what may shake your faith may not shake somebody else's faith, which is why I say it is not our job to question somebody's faith in God. It's our job to strengthen, to encourage, because what may phase you may not phase me, and what phases me may not phase you. And just repeating a point there, but I feel like it's important to repeat that point, because a lot of times that's what preachers do. That's what teachers do. That's what saints do. You say you shouldn't be fearful in that situation. You say to people, and sometimes we say some just really just insensitive things. We'll say, man, you shouldn't be worried about that. You should know better than that. You should know God loves you. For the very long time, I did not think God cared about me. And for some people that will say, man, you preach, you taught, you encourage, you baptize, you pray with people, you fasted for me, you had these encounters with God, you had these visions with God, you had these dreams with God. How is it that you could believe that God didn't like you or God didn't care about you? It's because I had an experience. I had some troubles that happened in my life, that question that shook my faith. The Bible says before Jesus departed his disciples, he told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. Why? So that your faith could be strong in God, so that you wouldn't give up. In other words, I'm praying for you. I'm hoping for you. I'm travailing for you to get through this. And I know you're going to go through some heartaches. You're going to go through some troubles, but you can make it through this. Listen, don't you dare put your mouth on somebody because they going through something and you think they should be better, and you think they should be wiser, and you think they should get through this more. Who you think you are? Hot man, I'm getting hyping because I want somebody to understand that until you put nails in your hands, until you've put nails in your feet, until you've taken stripes for somebody, how dare you question what somebody's faith should be? If you was in their shoes, yes, you may believe a little bit different. Yes, you may have faith in something different, but it could be the thing that shook your faith don't shake somebody else's faith. So why don't we all just encourage everybody to be strong in the Lord and of good courage? Man, we got to stop with this mindset of condemning people based off of how they believe in the situation that they're in. It ain't your job to do that. Your job is to encourage. If somebody comes to you and say, man, I'm feeling extremely stressed, I'm feeling extremely discouraged, your job is to lift them up with God through the word of God. Tell that brother, tell that sister, man, hold on, man, you ain't got to give up. Don't you give up. We have to do better at encouraging and strengthening our brothers and sisters instead of throwing the stone. Right? All right. Preaching moment done. But Jacob has this experience. He's fearful. He's afraid. And he splits his family up into two groups. He says, you go over here, you go over there. That way, if when Esau comes and he greets us, if he attacks one, the other group can go. Jacob's trying to save his family. He's trying to save his own life. And in the middle of the night, Jacob is alone. I can imagine that Jacob is tossing himself back and forth, trying to figure out, God, what am I going to do? I didn't let my family here. My family is in trouble, God. What am I going to do? What do I do? I know that he's praying and asking God to help him get through it and to help him see past his situation and to help him come out on top. Jacob is troubled in his spirit. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And sometimes the fear of the unknown is the greatest fear. Man, you don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to live. I know I was in the wrong before. I know in my past I made some mistakes before. Maybe this is catching up with me. Maybe this is my past mistakes coming back to haunt me. Maybe this is the end for me. Maybe God has forgotten about me. Jacob is alone, and a lot of times when you are alone, that is when God meets you the best. That is when God introduces himself to you the best. That is when God reintroduces himself to you in a greater way. It is my opinion that all of us need that alone time with God. Those isolation moments, those moments where there's no one around. Jacob could not depend on his family. He couldn't depend on his friends. He couldn't even depend on his own father, Abraham. Couldn't depend on his father-in-law, couldn't depend on his wives, couldn't depend on his children because he was the head. He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know how he was going to make it through. And then he sees a man. That man is translated or can be transposed to God. He sees God. Some believe this is Jesus in this text when it says he sees a man. He starts wrestling with a man. He starts wrestling with God. And he sees God and he starts wrestling with him. There's a tussle that's going on. And it's not the kind of tussle that's going on to where God was going to lose. I know sometimes when we talk about that text and they say Jacob wrestled with God or he wrestled with God, that it seemed like he was overcoming. No. He was wrestling and toiling with God and he didn't want God to leave. And the Bible says that the man, God, touches the hollow of his thigh and his thigh becomes disjointed. And just by one touch, he's showing Jacob that, Jacob, you can't win. You can't beat me. But Jacob won't let go. He's persevering. He's holding on. He's staying connected with God because he knows that in God is what he needs. And Jacob is fighting. He's fighting. He's trying to muster up the strength to stay on. And I know he wants to give up. I know he's in pain. He wants to let go of God. He wants to let go of his belief. He wants to let go of his faith. He wants to let go of his turmoil. He wants to let it go. But he can't because he realizes that God is his only way out. And God gets tired of wrestling with Jacob. And he says to Jacob, he says, listen, daybreak is getting ready to come. You better let me go. And a lot of times when we translate that scripture and we say that Jacob was holding on as if he was winning, but he wasn't winning. The scripture says, and he said, let me go for the day breaketh. In other words, Jacob, listen, you better let me go because day is getting ready to break and I need to get out of here. In other words, he's showing Jacob his power. He wants Jacob to know, man, you're not winning. You're not going to beat me. One thing that we can sometimes be as humans, especially humans in America. For some odd reason, we've thought that we can outdo God. Man, it's just impossible. You never will. You never can. It's impossible to outdo him. I don't care what medicine you come up with. I don't care what vaccine you come with. It's impossible to outdo God. And Jacob is, he's holding on and he says, God, I'm sorry, but I won't let go till you bless me. Jacob, at that point, he's used to being a trickster. He's used to finagling his way out of stuff, but he knew he couldn't finagle his way out of this situation. He knew that there was only one person that was going to grant him favor and bless him and keep him, and that was God. And he said, God, I won't let go till you bless me. I won't let go till you deliver me. I won't let go until you help me. Because God, if you don't bless me, the people that's behind me, the people that's following me, the people who you've blessed me with won't make it. And I want to encourage somebody today that is in turmoil. You're in those high anxiety moments and you're in those crazy places where it seemed like everything was going great and then boom, it hit and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn to. I want to encourage somebody, get a grip. Hold on. Don't give up on God. Squeeze him tight. And I don't care what happens. Don't let God go. Don't let him go. He's going to work it out. He's going to fix it for you. But you can't let him go. You got to get a strong grip on him. You got to get a strong grip on your faith. You got to get a strong grip on your what you believe. Because if you don't, the people that are depending on you, the people that are following you, the people who God has ordained to be in your life will never be blessed. They'll never see the blessing. And so, some of you may be at the verge of wanting to quit, like Jacob was in his anxiety moment, in his overwhelming period of life. And you may not necessarily know what to do. In those moments of isolation, when you don't know what to do, you gotta go meet God. And when you meet him, and you meet him by getting into his presence, you meet God by prayer, by worshiping him and praising him and inviting his presence to be in your life. When you do that, don't let go of that. Hold on to that. Do I mean you can't get up? No, from the prayer or from worshiping or from whatever. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, don't let go of that presence. Yield to God. Know that you can't beat him. And know that you need him. And when you lower yourself, humble yourself, and you realize that you need God, that's when God would bless you and God would deliver you. And he'll give you peace. He'll give you joy to get through whatever it is that you're facing. So, I pray that today's episode blessed you. I pray that you don't give up on God. Not in this moment. You just can't afford to. You need him more. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for being our Savior, for being our Lord, for being our God. God, I pray that whoever listens to this episode, God, be strong and gain strength in you. God, I pray. I pray for my brother, my sister, Lord God, Jesus, that you strengthen them, that you keep them, oh God, and that you help them, God, to overcome. I pray, God, that you deliver them, that you heal, you set free, oh God, Jesus. Father, God, I pray that you remove the depression off somebody's life, oh God. God, I pray that, Lord God, Jesus, you strengthen them where they are and that you keep them, God, at the point of their life where they are right now. And that, God, you bless them to hold on to you even in the midst of their distress and their overwhelming feeling. Father, give them the joy that passes, the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus, we need you. Father, at the sound of my voice, if there is anybody that has not received your Holy Spirit, Father, right now, I pray that you fill them. I pray, God, that you bless them to be isolated. That, Lord God Jesus, you isolate them. And that, Lord God Jesus, you meet them in their room, in their private place, God. And that, Lord God Jesus, they begin to worship, that they begin to praise you, and that you begin to infill them with your power, with your might. Jesus, we need you, and we cannot survive without you. Heal the land, Jesus, and help us to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week's episode, man, I've been thinking about this for a while. And next week's episode is going to be, I'm not perfect and that's okay, man. I'm really excited about that one. And I typically I don't let you guys know what the next one is going to be, but I'm excited about it because while I was doing this one, the Lord reminded me, had to probe at me and, humbled me very, very fast. but we'll talk about that next week. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I appreciate all the listens. Please like, subscribe, share. If you think that this is going to bless somebody and help somebody out, I appreciate every single one of you. God bless you. Peace.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.